60 AM Amory and WBZH 910 AM W245 CT Hayward. Always streaming
ABC
on the
News,
Civic Media
I'm Rena
app.
Roy. Could a third criminal indictment loom for former President Donald Trump? Sources familiar with the matter tell ABC News his lawyers have arrived at Special Counsel Jack Smith's offices. ABC's Stephen Portnoy has more.
The meeting between lawyers for the former president and the special counsel's office is reminiscent of a similar sit-down that occurred in early June, just days before Trump was indicted in the classified documents case. In the target letter he was most recently sent in the January 6th matter, Trump was offered the opportunity to testify before the grand jury. He declined to appear.
President Biden will speak about actions the federal government is taking to protect people from the heat, as the UN Climate Agency says this month is on pace to be the hottest ever recorded. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell is back on Capitol Hill today. He drew concern Wednesday when he froze mid-sentence during a press briefing. The 81-year-old later returned and told reporters he was fine. This is ABC News. Investigators in New York City zeroing in on a possible hydraulic fluid leak as the cause for the fire on a construction crane. It was lifting tons of concrete 45 stories up when it failed, First Deputy Fire Commissioner James Pfeiffer.
And as the fire heats the cable weakens to a point where it loses its strength, and that's where the collapse occurred.
A dozen people are hurt, but none of the injuries are considered life-threatening. We're getting a new look at the stress hitting workers in 911 call centers.
It happens about 600,000 times a day.
911, what's the address of the emergency?
Despite some high-profile acts of heroism.
Can you please press something on her to stop the bleeding?
We do.
The system has problems.
So I went ahead and called 911, and I got put on hold.
The National Emergency Number Association surveyed 850 911 call takers, finding that three-quarters think the high-stress nature of the job has led to staffing shortages. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
Rena Roy, ABC News.
They say the happiest cows come from Wisconsin.
You're really milking that.
We say some of the best radio does, too. This is Extra Sharp Weekends on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
For Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Here's what you need to know in Amory. Today's U.S. Drought Monitor shows 82% of the state is experiencing drought, with severe and extreme drought in parts of Sawyer, Barron, Washburn, and Russ counties. The National Weather Service says today will be the hottest day of the summer, with heat indices expected to climb into the triple digits. Several cooling centers are being opened around the area, which includes libraries, community buildings, and other shelters. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers announced that over $20 million in grants has been awarded to 21 different towns, cities, and villages in the state for public improvement projects. Hayward, Barron, Ladysmith, Dresser, and Wheeler will each receive $1 million for utility infrastructure. The funding for the grants comes from the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development. To be eligible, the communities needed to be low to moderate income and have under 50,000 people. And Dunn County officials say county roads are now open for ATV and UTV traffic. The new ordinance excludes state highways. From the Civic Media Newsroom in Western Wisconsin, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
It's so hot. Wait. Now it's going to rain? It is summer in Wisconsin.
As much as we love it, we love to hate it too. Find a forecast you can count on along with the in-depth details you need, only from the Civic Media Weather Team.
These extended conditions have led us into a flash drought. Sitting in these above average temperatures with minimal rain has swiftly altered the local climate.
Your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. This includes a commitment to news. Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. The Todd Alba Show.
Trigby Olson, Senior Advisor to the project, Lincoln Project, that is, that this is authoritarianism and the early, as Matt Flynn likes to say, the little cat's feet of fascism creeping in.
And the next time I see Scott Walker tweeting about Ronald Reagan taught us, there's never been a bigger bunch of balderdash ever perpetrated on people.
The Todd Alba Show, weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app, the Devil's Advocates radio show.
Tom from Madtown, welcome, Tom.
Hey, Tom.
Hey, guys, heard you talking about Robin Boss, so I called Robin Boss's office and said, yeah, why is DEI so dangerous? And Nothing. The guy just stopped talking. I said, hello, are you there? I called him back and the phone got picked up and then they didn't say anything. You know, maybe you'll learn something if you listen to the Devil's Advocate.
The Devil's Advocates radio show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
What if I just, instead of giving out the talk and text line, just started giving up Robin Voss's number all the time?
He needs to hear from us. He needs to know.
Instead of 844-96-PARTY, what is it?
Write it down. 608-237-9163. Call now.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry and Jane Mattenair. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Because I joined last night and I'm hopeful. Wow. I'm hopeful that it is more fun than Twitter has been lately, because Twitter has not been that fun lately.
I do wish it weren't those two.
I know. It's a weird thing to be cheering for Mark Zuckerberg right now.
I'm choosing between the Joker and the Penguin. This is not a winning solution.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry and Jane Mattenair. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Sorry, I'm really riled up this morning.
Why is that a thing? How can that be a thing?
Yeah, it shouldn't be a thing.
Just what a... I want to swear. I want to swear so badly.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin. Welcome to the 11 o'clock hour of As Goes Wisconsin. I am your host, Kristen Bry, along with Jane Mattenair on the board. And coming up this hour, in the next segment, if you would like to win some Wisconsin State Fair tickets.
We got them.
Kicks off. We got them. We got 25 of them. So we're going to be giving those out every day until next week. And in the next segment, you can call in, play to win. And there's really no losing.
No.
As long as you just answer the question, there is no way to lose. And all you have to do is tell us, you have to categorize three of the new foods. I'm going to give you three foods, and you have to tell me which ones you would devour once, take a bite of every day for the rest of your life, or banish to hell. So this is
Those are your choices.
This is a play off of a game called, we'll say, Fornicate, Marry, Kill, which is usually reserved for having to categorize three people. And which one would you fornicate with? Which one would you marry? And which one would you kill? But since you can't really do that with food, we're going to say, which one would you devour in one sitting? Which would you take a bite of for the rest of your life, one time a day? And which one would you banish to hell? Because there are some interesting foods making their debut at this year's fair. So we will be playing that in the next segment. And then at 11:30, J.R. Radcliffe, he's been gone for a while. He is back to give us a sports update across Brewers, Packers, and Women's World Cup. And typically, we do public service announcement during this segment on Thursdays, but Dr. Lyerly is traveling and could not join us live. And actually, next week, we are also going to be having a replay because my husband is turning 40. And so I will be 7 months pregnant in Vegas.
Oh,
and so
fun.
I will report back how fun that is.
Oh, boy.
But that'll be for next week. So 2 weeks from now, Dr. Lyerly will be back. But Jane and I thought this would be a good time. Because, you know, every once in a while when Jane and I are talking about topics to discuss on the show that we care about, a lot of times in the world that we're living in right now, there is a terrible, sad, infuriating headline having to do with a woman somewhere in America, or multiple women, who is living in a dystopian nightmare when it comes to her reproductive health and her reproductive freedoms. And I always, whenever we see those headlines, it's like, all right, but how do we talk about it without just saying the obvious of this is infuriating? And so in lieu of talking about other women's health issues, like we usually do with Dr. Lyerly, we thought we'd just kind of compile some of the headlines that we've seen just this month.
Yes.
As a reminder that we can't just get used to this. And it can't just become another headline as far as another woman who has lost her ability to get pregnant because she didn't get the health care that she needed when she went into sepsis. Or that it's not only going after doctors, it's going after the actual women, which they said they were not going to do.
Oh, I think that was a lie.
So let's just start with some of the headlines that I have found from just this month. In Georgia, all-male anti-abortion panel calls for death penalty.
Oh, okay.
Last weekend, a panel of all-male anti-abortion movement leaders gathered in Georgia to kick off a weekend of harassing a nearby abortion clinic and brainstorming strategies to subject people who have abortions to the death penalty. Every speaker at the extremist group Operation Save America's Abortion, abortion panel, sorry, the group is called Operation Save America. This was the abortion panel. Every single person on the panel was a man. And at one point, Darren Stid, who is Operation Save America's assistant national director, jokingly asked the all-male panelists, "Why do you hate all women?" to uproarious laughter.
Oh, that's so funny.
Because I don't know what the punchline was. I don't get it. But so that's happening in Georgia. That was over the weekend.
Can I just interject something real quickly?
Sure, Jane.
What never fails to amaze me is when all of these all-male panels are talking about reproduction, we never talk about the sperm.
Mm-hmm.
That's never, the man's role in pregnancy is never brought up, never mentioned. He apparently bears no responsibility at all.
Well, wait till I get to what Wisconsin has introduced this week, which will be the cherry on top at the end of this roundup. Then in Texas, last week, Texas women begin heartbreaking testimony in case against state abortion bans. So this was last week. You may have heard of some of the testimony that was coming out of a case called Zurowski versus the state of Texas, which is a landmark case that seeks to clarify a dangerously confusing exception to the state's archaic abortion laws. So the suit is brought forth by 13 Texas women who say they almost died from life-threatening pregnancy-related complications and were still unable to get emergency abortion care, even though the state's abortion ban includes a hypothetical exception for such cases. And this is happening because healthcare providers in violation of Texas laws face the threat of life in prison,
yep,
a $100,000 fine, and loss of their medical license. And so women, when they go into a medical emergency, are not receiving the care that they need because the doctors are so afraid of these consequences if that they could be charged with providing an abortion.
I have a sound clip if you'd like to hear that.
Great, let's play it.
One of the plaintiffs testified today that when she was almost halfway through her pregnancy, her cervix started dilating prematurely and she began leaking amniotic fluid. She was told that miscarriage was inevitable. But because it hadn't happened yet and the baby's heart was still beating, the doctor couldn't induce labor because it would be considered an illegal abortion. She described the anguish of having the baby's heartbeat monitored.
So several times I just had to listen to her heartbeat while simultaneously wanting to hear it and not wanting to hear it at the same time.
Zurowski says it took 3 days for the baby's heart to stop beating, and during that time, she went into septic shock. She spent several days in the ICU, and as a result of the sepsis, developed several reproductive complications that could make conceiving again difficult, even with fertility treatments. She was visibly angry when the plaintiff's attorney read a statement from the state's attorneys that claimed Zurowski actually had no standing in the lawsuit since it's unlikely she'll get pregnant again and therefore won't be impacted by the state's abortion bans in the future.
I mean, that's infuriating. I think it's disgusting and ironic. Do they not realize that the reason why I might not be able to get pregnant again is because of what happened to me as a result of the laws that they support?
The state is asking for the case to be dismissed, saying that it stems from the plaintiffs not liking the state's restrictions on abortion. And it says that any confusion about medical exceptions on the parts of physicians is directly attributable to misinformation.
I want you to think about that. Think about that for a minute. The state of Texas says that these women have no investment in this case anymore because they weren't able to get the treatment they needed when they needed it and can no longer have children. So therefore, they are not invested in this. Think about that. The logic behind that.
The cruelty behind that.
Yes.
Well, we only have a couple minutes left in this segment, so I got to keep moving along because I still have three more headlines to get to. In Nebraska last week, a teen was sentenced to jail after abortion said she didn't want to have a child with her abusive partner. A Nebraska judge sentenced 19-year-old Celeste Burgess to 90 days in jail and 2 years of probation on charges related to ending her pregnancy with abortion pills. And she said on the stand that part of the reason why she didn't want to continue with the pregnancy is because she was in an abusive relationship and didn't want to parent a child with her abusive partner, and yet is still going to jail and was charged as an adult.
Speaking of, happened to him, by the way.
Yeah. And speaking of abusive relationships, domestic violence hotline reports 99% increase in calls post-Roe. That these pregnancies since overall the National Domestic Violence Hotline said they've seen a 99% increase in calls from people saying their partners are trying to control their reproductive choices, which domestic violence experts call reproductive coercion. Since Roe was overturned, the hotline told Vice News that the year before Roe, they received 1,230 calls. In the year since, the hotline's received 2,442.
Wow.
This is also a good reminder to tell you that the leading cause of death for pregnant women is homicide, not maternal mortality from obstetrics complications.
Their partners murder them.
Yes. 19 Republican attorneys want police to investigate people for abortions. They were asking the Biden administration to overturn a proposed change that the Biden administration wanted medical privacy laws to ban doctors and nurses from reporting suspected abortions to law enforcement. 19 Republican attorney generals would like them to not do that. And finally, in Wisconsin news, because of course, let's come back to that. Republican lawmakers are introducing legislation that would require the perpetrator of sexual assault to pay double the amount of child support.
Oh, wow. Wow. Wow.
It's legislation which is circulating right now for co-sponsorship, and they argue the person convicted of sexual assault should bear both halves of the financial responsibility for raising the child. But first they have to be convicted to be able to have to pay that portion of the money. And it still doesn't help that you have to carry your rapist baby and that their rapist can now choose the mother of their children. So, sorry to be such a downer, but I feel like we need to remember that this is a reality, not only in other states, but also in our state right now. So, we will have more fun when we come back. If you would like to win some Wisconsin State Fair tickets, call now, 844-967-2789.
This is only where it began. Nobody knows how the story ends. Nobody knows how the story ends.
Larry, it's your mom. Did you know the Civic Media Network covers the whole state of Wisconsin? They can help your business get the word out, whether you want to reach a smidge of folks or just want the whole kit and caboodle. Call 608-819-8255. Okay then, bye.
Tired of hearing only one side of the story? Do you want news and information from people who, like you, know what it's like to work hard every day and still struggle to make ends meet? Then tune in to The Rick Smith Show every weeknight from 8 to 10 p.m. right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Be part of the conversation. Tune in. turn on and take back the American dream. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
The Todd Alba Show.
That's been pretty rough on the Joint Finance Committee. I know you're going to give bipartisan praise that you're going to raise the pay for district attorneys and public defenders. You don't get an attaboy for finally saying, we finally heard people cry uncle enough times. You either govern all the time or not once a decade when it's suddenly convenient. So, but I think we have to at least give people hope once in a while that there is something happening in Madison that is a little bit on the good side.
The Todd Alba Show, weekday afternoons 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Civic Media radio stations providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
Here's your updated forecast. A heat advisory begins at noon today and continues until 8 p.m. tonight. Partly cloudy skies this afternoon with daytime highs approaching 93. Southerly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy skies tonight. Scattered thunderstorms likely. Lows level off around 68. Chance for scattered thunderstorms again tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 86. Partly cloudy. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air WLAK 1260 AM. Right now 84.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Tom and Crude. Then at 6, The Maggie Dawn Show. WLAK.
Hey, don't miss it. Don't even be late.
Our state fair is a great state fair. Don't miss it, don't even be late. Boom, 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 it's dollars to donuts at our state fair.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Mettner. And this is a very, talk about a 180.
We're going from
really dark, really sad to the state fair.
That's all right. We're gonna lighten up the rest of the hour. So
the rest of the show will be light and will be fun, and including right now, we are finally giving away some Wisconsin State Fair tickets. We have our show alone has 25 to give away, so we are doing that every day until the State Fair starts next week, and so we are very excited. I'm very excited to come up with this game. So I was trying to think of something that would be fun that we could do each day, and
you can't really lose.
You can't really lose. And so there is, for people who are not familiar, there is a game, a word game that people sometimes play called Fornicate, Marry, Kill. But the fornicate is replaced with something else, which is a little crude. But it's, you know, you choose three celebrities and you have to pick one that you would do each with. So instead, with food, your options are devour once, one bite a day for the rest of your life, or banished to the depths of hell. So I have the list of 100 plus new food items at the Wisconsin State Fair. I'm going to list three off, and our caller each day is going to have to categorize each one of those. And so, Jane, who is playing today?
Joining us today, we have Richard from Sussex. Hey, Richard, thanks for calling in.
Well, good day, all. I'm very excited to be a part of the show after that down segment, like you mentioned. But I think we're ready to have some fun and win some State Fair tickets and talk about some really good food.
Really, really good food. What is typically your go-to, Richard, when you go to the State Fair? What is, like, the thing you have to have?
Oh, man. I got to have something on a stick, preferably at least a foot long.
I mean, there's plenty of options, but if that's the criteria.
I'm going with the corn dog that's a foot long every time. You got
to. All right.
Tis the season. You got to enjoy them.
What is your go-to after medicine? Tums, Alka-Seltzer, Imodium?
I find just having a six-pack of Miller High Life cures all. So that's generally what I do throughout the day anyway, and that'll get me where I need to be.
All right, Richard.
Spoken like a true Wisconsinite. Amen. All right, so here are your three options. So the first one is, there's not even a description. It's just alligator ribs. So that is option number one. Option number two, atomic slush, which is the world's hottest slush.
Oh, man.
And I think it means not temperature. I think it means
spicy.
Cayenne pepper.
Yep.
And then finally, a beer cheese Wisconsin lava cake, a salted which is a salted Milwaukee pretzel company slider buns filled with beer cheese soup topped with hot honey. So, Richard, one you have to eat a bite of every day for the rest of your life, one you have to finish, devour once, and one you get to never eat and banish the depths of hell. Which one are you going with? Alligator ribs, atomic slush, beer cheese Wisconsin lava cake.
Well, if it's going to be a bite every day for the rest of my sweet time on this planet Earth, I mean, as a true Wisconsin kid and one that devours about six High Lifes in a sitting, I'm going to have to go with the beer cheese lava cake.
Okay.
Hopefully that's made with a delicious Miller High Life batter of some kind or whatever you want to say. Devour, you know, this is tough. And then banish because, you know, I'm a real gator fan. And hopefully these were farm-raised and ethical gators that we're going to be devouring or banishing. Or the atomic slush sounds like something that will taste just as horrible going in as it will coming out.
You make an excellent point there, Richard.
I feel like I'm going to devour, whatever the word is, alligator ribs, and then I'm going to banish to the depths of Hades that atomic slush.
I think those are good choices.
I think those are excellent choices, Richard.
I think you get an A grade for how you categorized all of those. Thank you so much for listening, Richard, and thank you so much for playing. Jane is going to get your information.
Don't hang up, Richard.
Don't hang up. Stay on the line and she will get that from you. But yeah, so if you would like to play this game, we're going to play this every day for the rest of tomorrow. We'll play Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And we'll probably play more than once because we have 25 tickets.
We got lots
to give
of tickets.
Away. So we got to give away a fair amount. And
we got a lot of people calling in too, which I appreciate. And hopefully everybody who's interested will have a chance to get those tickets. So,
well, perfect.
And again,
and maybe
you can't lose.
You can't lose. And like all you know,
we may mock your choices, but you'll still get the tickets.
You'll still get the tickets and you don't even have to give us your real name. Maybe once give your real name to Jane, but at least on air, you don't have to give your real name.
You'll be publicly shamed.
Exactly. All right. Well, coming up next, J.R. Radcliffe is back. We've taken a little bit of a break because of summer vacations and the like, but very excited to talk to him about the Brewers. We have a new rookie who really made a splash over the weekend. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about Packers training camp, which kicked off. We may talk about Rodgers. We may not.
Do we have to?
I don't know. It's just he did a very annoying move yesterday.
Oh, well, then let's talk about that.
And then last night, women's national team tied the Netherlands. It was a very fun game, but where does that mean? What does that mean for us now for our last game in group play? J.R. Radcliffe has all of that when we come back. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Our state fair is a great state fair. Don't miss it. Don't even be late. Boom, boom, boom. It's dollars to donuts that our state fair is the best state fair in our state. Our state fair is a great state fair. Don't miss it. Don't even be late. It's dollars to donuts that our state fair is the best state fair in our state.
Our state fair is a great state fair. Don't miss it, don't even be late. It's dollars to donuts that our state fair is the best state fair in our state.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. 12:15, Town Call. 1 p.m., The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. WLAK.
ABC News, I'm Victor Okendo. Former President Trump's attorneys met today for an hour with Special Counsel Jack Smith's team. It follows the target letter sent to Trump related to the January 6th attack investigation. ABC News national correspondent Stephen Portnoy has the latest.
The meeting between lawyers for the former president and the special counsel's office is reminiscent of a similar sit-down that occurred in early June, just days before Trump was indicted in the classified documents case. In the target letter he was most recently sent in the January 6th matter, Trump was offered the opportunity to testify before the grand jury. he declined to appear.
President Biden will outline his administration's plan to protect Americans from the extreme heat gripping the nation and the world. The UN Climate Agency says July is on track to be the hottest on record. The nation's gross domestic product, or GDP, beat expectations in the second quarter. The economy grew 2.4%. This is ABC News.
For Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Here's what you need to know in Amory. Today's U.S. Drought Monitor shows 82% of the state is experiencing drought, with severe and extreme drought in parts of Sawyer, Barron, Washburn, and Russ counties. The National Weather Service says today will be the hottest day of the summer, with heat indices expected to climb into the triple digits. Several cooling centers are being opened around the area, which includes libraries, community buildings, and other shelters. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers announced that over $20 million in grants has been awarded to 21 different towns, cities, and villages in the state for public improvement projects. Hayward, Barron, Ladysmith, Dresser, and Wheeler will each receive $1 million for utility infrastructure. The funding for the grants comes from the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development. To be eligible, the communities needed to be low to moderate income and have under 50,000 people. And Dunn County officials say county roads are now open for ATV and UTV traffic. The new ordinance excludes state highways. From the Civic Media Newsroom in Western Wisconsin, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
Hey, this is Joey Erickson at Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. At Civic Media, we love our local communities and want to share your stories. Submit your local event and we'll let our listeners know. Email me at joey.erickson@civicmedia.us.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
I have Corrine Hendrickson, part of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed group.
The Joint Finance Committee, again in the middle of the night, took that out and said, well, hey, you have all this money coming from the federal government. Why don't you use that to create this program? Well, guess what? We proved it worked. Wages went up $2 an hour. There actually are a couple extra childcare businesses open now than there were about a year ago, and that's going to stop. Just Monday, we lost two.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app, The Devil's Advocates Radio.
The entire light beer industry is under attack from the right at this time. Apparently, that they no longer have women in bikinis selling the beer.
I would suggest, and this is on the Fox Entertainment Network.
I believe it's the Fox News. Well,
well, I just hope I don't get to the Captain Morgan and Diet Cokes, man. That'd be a sad day.
The Devil's Advocates Radio with Dom and Crute. Weekdays 4 till 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
A guy named Bill out in Econowalk. Bill's got some thoughts on that.
Yeah, thanks for talking about what you're talking about right now. Your station, you raised the bar high for integrity. You are a community radio station, which means you look out for all the citizens in the state of Wisconsin.
Daily conversations about Wisconsin's latest headlines and stories. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning, 6 till 8. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
This is the year we make it to the big show. Far passes, makes touchdowns, and we will do the Lambo leap in Titletown. Move with us, chant with us.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinair. And we are so happy to welcome back Mr. J.R. Ratcliffe, who has he was on vacation. Then I think we had a day where you couldn't come on. So it's been a little while since we got to talk to you about some sports. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me back. Thanks for not forgetting about me.
We did not. We never forget about you. So before we dive into some Brewers news, what is your go-to state fair food?
You know, for somebody who is built on the larger side, I'm just not a very adventurous eater. I don't even really like tailgate food, oddly enough. I'm kind of just a chicken and fries guy if I'm going out and eating something like at a state fair sort of thing. So I'm cool with bacon. I am all in on the ears of corn, you know. That's obviously something that shows up at state fair all the time. So I am happy to have that, but I'm not going to go outside the box. I'm not going to eat a cockroach covered in chocolate, you know, or vanilla drizzle. Like that's not for me. So
so you don't want to play the game that we're playing with contestants to win free tickets.
No, I'm so sorry, guys. I don't. I'm so boring. I can't do weird food.
Who's a pickier eater? You or your kids?
Oh, my children. Yeah, they won't eat anything. I mean, that's not true. They'll eat it. They'll talk about how much they love it, but then they want something else and decide that this is the most disgusting thing they've ever had because somebody mentioned macaroni and cheese, and now that's the only thing that matters in this dinner scenario. But they are not the pickiest eaters I know among children, so I cannot complain ultimately. Okay. But yeah, they definitely I am not as picky as they are.
All right. That's good. All right. Well, I've been sitting and waiting to talk about this on air because big news over the weekend. Sal Frelick. Am I saying his name right?
It's Frelick. Yes. I talked to him yesterday and I said it and I was like, did I say that? I have no idea. There's three possible ways this could go. You know, Frelick. I don't even know the third one, but it is Frelick. Sal Frelick. Not Frodo.
Frelick.
He is small. He is a small man for a professional athlete, but Frodo won't work.
But small but mighty, because he absolutely crushed it last weekend.
Yeah, that's about as good a debut as it gets. And for offensive players, I think you could argue it's the best debut any Brewers player has ever had, you know, major league debut. So starting on that Saturday night where doesn't rob two homers, but makes two good, great catches on the warning track. He, you know, he goes 3 for 3. In an at bat where he didn't get a hit, he hits the game winning what ends up becoming the game winning sacrifice fly in the eighth inning. A lot of drama at the end. I mean, it just doesn't get better than that. And I wasn't there. I may or may not have snuck off from the wedding I was at to listen to one of the innings in my car. Maybe two of the innings
in my car.
Yeah, it's professional curiosity, but also just curiosity. and heard the end of that game. It was wild. And there are a couple moments that come up. One that has. As a comparison, it's 2005. Both Ricky Weeks and Prince Fielder hit their first career home runs in the same game. And that's about the time where the Brewers were getting really excited about this up-and-coming farm system of young guys. And they're not in the same place because they've had success the last few years. In 2005, it was like a barren wasteland for the 90s and the late 80s, early 90s, and most the 2000s. It hasn't been like that. But there is this wave of prospectum coming up. We've seen Joey Weimer, Bryce Terang. Mm-hmm. And Sal Frelick is as highly regarded as those guys, for sure, and is near the top of the list of the guys that people are sort of waiting to see. So he comes out, he just huge. He hit his first career home run then a couple games later. He's not a home run hitter, but that was a huge, important run in a game that the Brewers won by one run. You know, his family was there. His mom stayed back to stay with the dog, which is super endearing. And he had, just so many moments that he has been completely. Sometimes guys get to the big leagues and they're overmatched. And it's totally understandable because, you know, it's going to take some acclimation. Yeah. And maybe those days will probably come for Sal Frelick as well. But he was not even remotely overmatched by what he saw in the big leagues in a big series against the Reds here, this series during the week, like there's a battle for first place and he still made some important moments. So really a fun time.
Really, really fun. Fun players to continue to watch. Cause I was like, Joey Weimer was the same thing. I mean, I feel like he, not as newsworthy, but I feel like I was at like his first game against the Cubs and stuff. And like he came out. So it's fun to see that we have young, really strong players. And so, speaking of potential new players, we have a trade deadline on Tuesday. Is there drama around that?
Always. The highest drama moment of the Major League Baseball season, almost unquestionably, probably more so than opening day even, is what happens at the trade deadline. So August 1st is when, middle of the day, August 1st is when we know when teams can trade players. Now there sometimes are trades that happen after that. That's been reduced, actually, in the last few years pretty dramatically. But, after this point, if you're acquiring a player, he has to pass through waivers first, which means that other teams get a crack at him. He can't be eligible for the postseason. Like, long story short, trades do not really happen. Serious ones don't happen after this point in the season. So every team, you've got your buyers and your sellers, the teams that are looking to prepare for next year, of which there are usually a very small number because a lot of teams make the playoffs. And then you've got teams like the Brewers that are looking to upgrade, and a lot of teams in this middle ground that you don't really know what they're going to do. They probably don't really know what they're going to do. So all the action gets concentrated right before the deadline. Everybody is waiting for every morsel of information they have before deciding what to do with certain players. And the Brewers they're kind of in dire need of some offense, particularly guys who can hit homers, guys who can play first base or third base, maybe an outfielder, but they're going to be a lot of suitors for those same types of guys. Mm-hmm. So it's almost impossible to know how it shakes out, particularly for a team like Milwaukee that doesn't usually get in on the biggest names. And so it's usually guys that you haven't thought about, or that, you know, it's a creative trade that requires players that you maybe didn't consider would be going the other way. And it's also a little bit overhyped in that the guys you get back, you only get them for 2 months in many cases, and there's just not a lot of time to make a huge difference. But all it takes is getting that guy who upgrades you just a little bit, has that big hit in September, October, and you know, becomes immortal. So so you kind of, the Brewers could stand to improve their odds quite a bit by improving their offense.
All right. Good to know. And we will wait and see what happens by Tuesday. We're talking to J.R. Radcliffe from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel about getting a little sports update. So moving on to the Packers.
All right.
Training camp started this week. Were you up there?
No, we've got a lot of Packers writers, and yeah, I'd much rather stick around here in Milwaukee. But it's definitely a fun time of year. A little, very different vibe, because you're not talking about the Packers as a Super Bowl contender per se. So it's a big mystery, and I think in some ways for a lot of fans, it's kind of nice, kind of relaxing. It's like, if they don't win the Super Bowl this year, it won't cause me to you know run outside in the middle of winter, you know, begging the gods for something, you know, some, I don't know, restitution. I don't know what the word is there, but it'll be okay. It'll be okay if they just show some signs of progress this year.
Do you think that, or do you feel like they're Jordan? Because I was listening to, it wasn't Bill Simmons' podcast. It was one of the podcasts that my husband was making me listen to on our road trip up north. And there was a female like sports writer, and they were going through the list of which quarterbacks have the most pressure on them going into this season. And she put Jordan Love at the top. And then it's like, it's not necessarily warranted, but as far as just the press and the hype and the expectations of Packer fans, like, she put him up there as far as who people are going to be watching right out of the gate and like how much time he will be allowed to improve before people, and especially because of what his deal ended up looking like as far as what this is. Do you agree with that?
I guess it depends on how you view pressure. Certainly the spotlight will be on him. You know, like, they have a lot of primetime games for a team that doesn't have a superstar quarterback coming back. So there is a lot of interest. There will obviously, I mean, it's going to be the number one storyline throughout Packers camp, throughout the first several games, no question asked. So in that sense, is there pressure? Of course. I think it maybe doesn't give Packers fans quite enough credit for understanding where they are. Nobody comes in expecting him to be Aaron Rodgers or approach Aaron Rodgers' production. Both Rodgers and Brett Favre had quiet first seasons. Quiet's the wrong word. Like, there was improvement, but they did not go to the playoffs in their first full season as quarterback. It just doesn't usually work that way. So I think Packers fans understand that. I do think if, let's say, they start out hot, I think their bye is in week 5 or 6, you know, and they win 3 of their first 4, 4 of their first 5, I do think that's going to flip a little bit, because now Packers fans are going to smell what this division is, and that's a winnable division without a clear-cut, you know, top team or even a clear-cut order at all for these four teams. They're going to start to say to themselves, okay, well, you know, this is a playoff opportunity, and now you got to take it. Now you got to go for what you got. Yeah. Go for seeing how far you can take this thing. So then things will ramp up a little bit. Unquestionably, there's pressure. You know, like, if nothing else, he's playing for his future. You know, they're not gonna sit around here 3 years and wait for him to develop. He's already been here developing. Yeah. If he doesn't turn out pretty quickly early on, or doesn't show signs that, you know, by year 2 or year 3 he could be a top flight NFL quarterback, I do think they probably, I mean, even Aaron Rodgers, they were drafting guys behind him. You know, those guys didn't work out, but there will be Plan B and Plan C formulated at that point. So there's that level of pressure. I don't think Packers fans expect him to hit the ground running to the point that this is a playoff team, but it is not out of the question that they will be a playoff team, because the division is what it is, and other aspects of the team are supposedly pretty good this year.
All right. Well, we'll see the headlines that come out of it and see how people are watching him in training camp. I don't want to spend too much time on this, but we just have to acknowledge the fact that Aaron Rodgers' Jets deal came out yesterday. And guy took a pay cut, which is something that he never did with us. Thoughts,
Thanks,
feelings?
Thanks for that, buddy. Yeah, this is real. Like, he took a lot of the time when we talk about restructuring and re-signing, it's not what it sounds like. It's deals are there's so much minutia in the NFL salary cap that it's all about like restructuring it so that money you have to end up paying later, but the player doesn't really lose out. In this case, he basically is leaving $35 million on the table so that the Jets are in a better position to sign more talent to run things up. Tom Brady did this. And it's, I think, partially why you can explain his sustained success throughout his NFL career. Nobody else really does this. This is really kind of surprising. And it maybe flip a little bit of a middle finger to Packers fans. But I also think, I mean, if you could get him to do that, like, he has to acknowledge on some level, I'm not sure he does, but his production isn't what it's going to be. He struggled last season. He is not one of the top five quarterbacks in the NFL. He's close, maybe, but you have to kind of squint to even make that argument. So he probably knows that if this team is going to go to the playoffs, and I do want to play, say, another 4 years, it is prudent, actually, to try and build this team up around me, get all these receiving weapons, and get a better defense. Like, that makes some sense. I just didn't think Aaron Rodgers would acknowledge that to that degree. Again, this does not happen a lot, but it did happen with Tom Brady, and that was successful. So, great. I'm glad he loves New York. Good for him.
All right, and finally, I watched the game last night. I was at Nomad on Brady with a lot of really good turnout of people. Cheering hard to watch what most sports fans don't understand when it comes to soccer, which is a tie between the women's U.S. national team and the Netherlands. But it was 1-1. Were you able to watch the game?
I watched as much as I could. Love the weird tete-a-tete in the latter half where Lindsey Horan and her club teammate got into it. Van de Donk from Netherlands got into it. And then the referee brought them together like she was scolding them, or they were like, now you say you're sorry and you say you're sorry. And then immediately after that, Rose Lavelle, University of Wisconsin and Madison, shout out there. Beautiful corner kick. And Horan, of all people, heads it right home. A very necessary goal. And it was a
beautiful header. Like, beautiful. The succession of those events of the fight and the push awesome. And the like whatever apology that they had to have, and I was like, I've never seen this so in men's weird. Sports.
I know, and I thought the exact like, same thing.
Like, shut her up by just scoring was so fun and so awesome.
Yeah.
But going into the last game, so now we play Portugal, the Netherlands play Vietnam, and basically, like, do we have to win?
Win or tie, okay. Yes. If they lose, there is an outside shot, but I would not count on Vietnam beating the Netherlands, and that's what it would take. So. Absolutely do not lose this next match. They lose a little bit of netting, but they should be okay. They're going to win or tie against Portugal. It'll be all right.
All right. Good to know. Well, JR, we will see you in 2 weeks when you're back. We're happy to have you back. And I'll see you around the office at Milwaukee Journal Sentinel.
Sounds great. Come on down. We'll see you then.
All right. We got one more break. We'll come back right after this. This is As Goes Wisconsin. And a Brooks and an Edgar and a Red Jeep, Jackson and a Shimmer and a Holmgren and a Jackie Jones and a Leroy and a Newsom and a Dorsey. Hey, Pacarena, Hut, Hut, Brett and a Brooks and an Edgar and a Red Jeep, Jackson and a Shimmer and a Holmgren and a Jackie Jones and a Leroy and a Newsom and a Dorsey. Hey, Pacarena. Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude. Did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Ready for our little forest adventure?
Yes!
So much waiting for me. Yeah, I wanna go outside. I wanna be
We're here.
Whoa, that was fast.
There's a forest closer than you think. Find a park or forest near you and music inspired by nature at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by USDA Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. A heat advisory begins at noon today and continues until 8 p.m. tonight. Partly cloudy this afternoon with a high of 93. South winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy tonight, scattered thunderstorms likely, lows level off around 68. Chance for scattered thunderstorms tomorrow, highs around 86, a blend of clouds and sun. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air WLAK, 1260 AM, right now 85.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. Beginning at 6, Up North News. And at 8, Stu Daniels on Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Rolls by, I'm gonna be ready this time. When the boy gets a look in his eye, I'm gonna be ready this time.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinere. And throughout today's show, I have been refreshing Twitter to see what's going on with the Milwaukee County Board, because they are voting today on whether or not they will have an increase of 0.4% to the sales tax. And yesterday's event went really well. You can go back and watch the live stream of my what was Rob Hankin from Wisconsin Policy Forum. And he actually gave a really good presentation that even I learned some stuff as far as kind of like the numbers of the Milwaukee County and how, yes, there was a pension problem, but just structurally looking at the numbers of like the way the state has structured how we fund counties and cities, like the math does not math, despite the fact that there's been so many cuts. And so I asked David yesterday, I was like, how you feeling? And he's like, I'll feel, you know, hopefully better tomorrow.
When it's over. And I just want to say, and my husband and I were just talking about this. There has been so much deferred maintenance that started under Scott Walker, and things just got pushed back and pushed back and pushed back and pushed back. And that can got kicked down the road again and again and again. And
well, and it's because that was their Yes, and it was because that was the cuts that they knew how to make, was, and that was largely what Rob Hankin said in his speech, is like, this is where they cut employees, they cut transit stuff, like, and they also this deferred maintenance. I mean, we're going to lose the domes probably. Yes. I think last thing I saw is maybe they save one.
I just don't see that happening. I really don't.
You don't think they'll even save one?
You're going to have to rip the whole thing down and rebuild it.
Yeah. And, you know, and it was not without efforts to live within means, but there's fixed costs. And obviously we've been on the show, so I haven't been able to follow all the people who are tweeting about it, but it does not look like they've voted yet. But the vote will happen today. And, you know, and one of the questions I asked County Executive Crowley yesterday was, you know, so if there's a no vote, procedurally, what happens?
Yeah.
And they can bring it back, like they can vote on it again, but that loses time and that loses money. And like, we need to have this happen now. And if it does, I mean, for the sales tax for Milwaukee, that starts in the city. That starts January 1st. If this passes today, that also starts January 1st. And so no news yet, but that could be one of the conversations that we have. It could be a conversation we have tomorrow, or at least we'll acknowledge it tomorrow when we come back and have tomorrow's show. And like I said, Maggie Dawn is going to be here, which I'm very excited about.
Me too.
If you have not had the chance to listen to her show yet, 6 p.m. Brilliant. She's brilliant.
She is. Monday
through Thursday, 6 to 7 p.m. She speaks like she's a lawyer, so she knows the law, and but she also talks about it in a way that is so passionate and so yet open-minded. that it's she's great. And so I'm very and we're also just happy to have more women on the Civic Media Network.
Upping the estrogen.
Upping the estrogen's never a bad thing. And then Matt Miller will also be here. So we finally will get to talk about the Barbie movie a little bit. I have yet to see it. Are you going to see it this weekend?
Not this weekend, but I will see it before it leaves theaters. I don't like crowds. I don't want to sit in. Go away.
That's so interesting. Do you not feel like I was thinking about this last night as I was watching the women's soccer game. And granted, I am, you know, I am an extrovert, but I feel like there is something about experiencing sports, concerts, movies, that is a different experience than when you watch it alone. And I think it's a heightened experience. Like there is something that I feel like for me watching last night's game at home, it's easier to, especially with soccer, right? Because like if you're invested at any moment, there could be a goal, sure. But there's also most of the game, there is no goal. And if I was at home watching the game, I don't think I would have gotten out of my chair as many times as I pregnantly got out of my chair last night and like cheering, because the ethos of the environment is everyone's cheering and everyone's making noises and everyone's like, oh, and then they get let down because it was almost a goal and then it wasn't, or the other team almost scored and then it wasn't. It's like the enthusiasm that can build when you're watching with a group. It's the same thing if you watch like a comedy special. Like, I feel like when you watch a comedy special at home, you maybe laugh out loud, but like you think it's funny. Unlike, I feel like how much more likely you are to laugh out loud when you're in a group who is also laughing out loud.
I understand what you're saying, but I have no problems laughing out loud completely alone,
completely
by
alone.
Myself, or at inappropriate times in movies.
Okay.
I mean, there was
so the crowd doesn't do anything for you.
No,
it doesn't change your experience except for the worst.
Not at all. There was a movie that Cindy Crawford was in many, many, many years ago. They had the premiere in Milwaukee. It was so bad. I could not stop howling.
Is that the one she did with like Richard Gere?
With one of the Baldwins.
Oh, she is the one with the Baldwin?
With one of the Baldwins. It was one of the worst movies I've ever seen. And she was...
I bet she looked good, though.
She looked great. But she's one of the... She was terrible. And the person sitting next to me is like, can you stop laughing so loud? And I'm like, I can't stop because this is hilarious. So, yeah, mobs
It does nothing for you.
Nah, I don't care.
All right. Well, we can still get you to go to the laughing tab.
Yeah, oh, for sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's not mobs at the movie theater.
Right.
All right. Well, anyway, so Matt Miller will be here tomorrow, and I'm sure we'll talk his reviews of Oppenheimer and Barbie, because I'm absolutely sure that he has seen both of them. We'll get his opinion on... you know, the reviews themselves and what it says about our culture, and do just a general pop culture update with him like we do once a month. And so we got a good show tomorrow, and then we'll round out the week. Got a short week next week, but and you'll have a chance. I think we'll play twice tomorrow.
Okay.
So if you liked today's State Fair game, you'll have two chances to win tomorrow and let us know what foods you would devour, eat for the rest of your life, or banish the depths of hell. Thank you to everyone. Thank you to J.R. Radcliffe. Thank you to everyone who called in and texted in. Thank you to Richard from Sussex. Have fun at the State Fair. We'll be back tomorrow at 10 a.m. This has been As Goes Wisconsin.
Rank Seed has been breeding better seeds for generations. Each year, Rank invests tens of millions of dollars to support DNA-level breeding and new trait development. This dedication to research has resulted in numerous insect-resistant, herbicide, and drought-tolerant traits in our lineup. Rank Seed utilizes the latest technologies, including robotics and color sorters, to ensure the highest germination and the best quality of seed. tirelessly striving to better serve our farmers. From research to results, Rank Seed is rooted in technology.
Pursuing the truth wherever it may lead. The Todd Albaugh Show, weekday afternoons from 1 till 3. Join the conversation. Get involved. The Todd Albaugh Show on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You're listening to WLAK 1260 AM Amory and WBZH 910 AM W245 CT Hayward. Always streaming on the Civic ABC Media.